Welcome to the VPR Vermont PBS debate series. I'm Bob Kinzel of Vermont Public Radio, and today we have the major party candidates for lieutenant governor with us, Democratic candidate Molly Gray and Republican candidate Scott Milne. Molly Gray was raised in Newbury, Vermont. She graduated from Vermont Law School. She spent 3 years working with the International Committee of the Red Cross involved with humanitarian issues. She currently serves as an assistant attorney general. Scott Milne is the president of Milne Travel, an independent family-owned business that was started by his mother, Marion. The company now has employees in 10 states. He ran for governor in 2014 and lost a very close race against Governor Peter Shumlin. He also ran unsuccessfully in 2016 against Senator Patrick Leahy. I'd like to welcome both of you to the program today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Good to be here. Thank you, Bob.
I want our listeners and viewers to know that we did invite the progressive candidate for Lieutenant Governor, Chris Erickson, to be with us for this debate, and she turned down our invitation. Now, in the first round, I'll ask questions of both of you. In the second round, you'll have an opportunity to ask each other questions. And then in the third round, we have some questions from our listeners. And we'll close out our debate with a general question for both of you. And sprinkled in during the program will be some lightning round questions where the answers should be no more than 10 seconds. So in this first round, please limit your answers to no more than 60 seconds. And if I have a follow-up question, please limit your answer to 30 seconds. So let's get started. I'd like to ask you both about your thoughts about the role of government in our lives. When there's a hurricane, we probably all want government assistance to help us recover from that natural disaster. But there's some debate about other areas. For instance, should government mandate paid family leave? Should state government require a higher minimum wage? Should state government make it possible to have universal childcare at an affordable price? Or should these issues be left to the private sector to determine if they're going to be put into place? Scott Milne, start us off.
Sure. Well, first of all, Bob, good to see you. Molly, thank you for a vigorous campaign, and I'm looking forward to what do we have left, a month and 3 or 4 days? And although there's voting going on today, so pay attention to your ballots. Bob, I think the question is at the core of what we're all about, and it's not really a question of can what the government should be doing. It's take a step back and realize, you know, my political philosophy is the more locally decisions can be made, the better the decision, and that good government isn't driven by some political agenda. It's driven by practical, factual things. So clearly there's situations where the government should be doing things. There's situations where the government can or cannot be doing things, and there are legitimate questions for popular support. And I think there's legitimate situations where the government can be doing very little and leaving it to the private sector. If we look at Vermont, the challenge that we have as we emerge from this once in a century pandemic is that we've got a lot of work to do to get our economy back on track. I'm looking to put in my 3 decades of experience to work for Vermont to help us emerge safely and responsibly from this virus and getting to work on our economy. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk to everybody about it today, and thank you.
So just to be clear, Scott Milne, you would oppose legislation at the State House that provided paid family leave, raising the Vermont minimum wage, and providing universal child care?
Well, I'm supportive of raising the minimum wage, Bob. And if anybody wants to check out some deeper thoughts on what I think is going on with wages, the economy, and jobs in the future, I'd ask you to just do a search engine, Scott Milne, Fight for 15. It's a well thought out, something that won't fit in a minute. Paid family leave, I'm in favor of the voluntary program that Governor Scott and Governor Sununu have offered. I think it offers protection to more people than the other plan. And I do think there's legitimate roles. Government is to those who most is given, most is expected. We've got the most powerful, affluent, democratic government in the history of mankind. Americans should not be going hungry. Vermonters and Americans should not have to worry about food, clothing, shelter sort of things. And the government has a vital role in making sure that those services are delivered effectively, fairly, and efficiently to everybody.
Thank you, Scott. Molly Gray, what are your thoughts about the role of government in these types of areas?
First, Bob, thank you so much for having me. Thanks to PBS, thanks to VPR, thanks to everyone who's tuning in today. I got into this race because of our demographic challenges. We've struggled to keep a generation here, bring a generation back, and bring a new generation to Vermont. We're struggling with a declining tax base, a shrinking workforce and population, and an aging state. On top of that, this pandemic has laid everything bare. Access to childcare, access to basic internet for our rural communities, access to paid family and medical leave. So no Vermonter has to choose between caring for a loved one who has COVID-19 and paying the bills. There isn't one simple solution. I think now is the time for government and for our legislature and our governor working together to set priorities, to align our budget with our greatest needs. These are some of our priorities. But government can't do it alone. And there's room for public-private partnerships as well. So thank you for having me today. I look forward to talking about my vision for Vermont, my experience, and what I can do to help us recover stronger from COVID-19 and address some of these great challenges that we face now as a state.
What do you say to those small businesses, though, that say passage of these initiatives will cost them a lot of money, could force them to lay off some employees, and might even put them out of business?
Well, first things first, I grew up on a vegetable and dairy farm here in Vermont, a small business. I've been endorsed by small businesses from across the state. And for the last several weeks, I've been talking to businesses across Vermont. The biggest concerns that our businesses face is that they can't recruit and retain employees because sometimes parents are having to choose between childcare and going to work. So our businesses know that some of these investments are the best economic investments we can make right now to support our businesses and to grow our economy at a time when we have to do that. Our future depends on it.
Let's now go to question number two. We're going to talk about healthcare. In November, the United States Supreme Court will hear a case that challenges the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as it's sometimes known. It's possible that the law will be struck down, leaving healthcare coverage in the jurisdiction of individual states. So this is also kind of a role of government type of question. Would you support a plan that gives Vermonters the option of participating in a publicly financed healthcare system? Or do you believe that the private sector is the best way to ensure that all Vermonters have access to affordable healthcare? Molly Gray?
First and foremost, here in Vermont, we have to address the soaring costs of healthcare. During this pandemic, when so many Vermonters lost their jobs, they also lost healthcare. We need to decouple access to healthcare and access to employment. The fee-for-service model here in Vermont basically creates a situation where so many Vermonters are paying large insurance premiums, and we see insurance rates going up. And we see insurance providers threatening to cut services. I support a model that ensures that every Vermonter, and especially Vermonters in our rural communities, have access to healthcare. And here's the thing. This November, Republicans around this country are bringing a case to the Supreme Court that would take away healthcare to 23 million Americans and 21,000 Vermonters. If that goes through, and if we elect a Republican and we ram through a conservative Supreme Court justice, we have a huge, huge challenge on our hands. So the first thing we need to do is make sure Joe Biden gets elected in November.
Molly, you mentioned the spiraling costs of healthcare. What basic steps would you recommend to slow this down?
First, we need to make sure our insurance providers aren't threatening to cut services. Basically, holding the rates hostage. Now, as I talk to Vermonters around the state, one of the biggest challenges we face is that a lot of Vermonters can't access basic telemedicine, and they're getting in the car to travel across the state just to have a basic appointment. So investing in broadband so Vermonters can access telemedicine, making sure we're moving away from that fee-for-service model to a quality of care, and making sure that our community healthcare centers remain open. So basic primary and preventative care is accessible to all Vermonters.
Scott Milne, would you support a plan that gives Vermonters the option of participating in a publicly financed healthcare system? Or do you believe that the private sector is the best way to ensure that all Vermonters have access to affordable healthcare?
Sure. Thanks again very much for the question, Bob. I think it's healthcare is more important now than ever. And as I look back over, you know, evolution of healthcare in America over my lifetime, I think it's really important. You know, we talk about all payer models and government doing this and private people doing that. Let's celebrate what's great about American healthcare. 50 years ago, healthcare was, I think, 6% of our GDP. Today, it's about 20%. That's a lot of money, but let's look at what's happened over the last couple generations. And I've got a personal story. I've got a son named Keith, who's named after my brother, Keith. My brother, Keith, you know, woke up with a black eye one morning, found out he had brain cancer the next week, and was no longer with us 4 months later. I think if many kids, many people with illnesses like that live through that, we've got medical science that's advanced so much over the last couple generations that is what we need to celebrate. And we need to, and your question is at the core of it, Bob, and the important issue is, what's going to keep American and Vermonters' healthcare improving so that kids who come down with these illnesses that were deadly 10 years ago are living healthy, happy lives? And that's what this is all about. So let's make sure we do that. I've got a very good plan, Progress VT. Go to scottmilne.org, check it out. We've got very specific, doable, common sense proposals on how to improve healthcare costs. Ending surprise medical bills. This is a bipartisan bill.
Let me ask you this. We sure. Do adhere to our time limits somewhat more carefully. Scott, Molly Gray said the time has come to decouple one's health insurance coverage from their place of employment. Is she wrong?
I think that happened with the Affordable Care Act. I think she's right, and it's something that we're moving in the right direction on. I think the question for Vermont as we move forward, it's what can we do in Vermont? We can expand telehealth. One of the silver linings of COVID is telehealth regulations have been moved forward a decade or more. Let's keep the momentum going on that. Very specific plans in scottmilne.org's Progress VT plan about repealing certificate of needs laws. We believe this will save Vermonters about $200 million a year. There's all kinds of other benefits. These are common sense reforms, part of Progress VT that don't cost anything. I'm looking forward to being a partner with Governor Scott and working across the aisle with the citizen legislators to get these things done.
Let's go to a lightning round. Now, we're really going to try to keep your answers to 5 or 10 seconds. As we mentioned earlier, the U.S. Supreme Court could be in for some big changes. Those changes could also affect the future of the landmark case Roe versus Wade. Do you support the proposed Vermont constitutional amendment, it's known as Proposal 5, that protects the reproductive rights of all Vermonters? Scott Milne?
I think what's good about Proposition 5 is it lets Vermonters weigh in at a ballot box about a very important issue. I do also believe Vermont has the shortest constitution in America and the least amended constitution. I think it's something we need to think seriously about before we make changes, but the Democratic engagement aspect of Proposition 5 is something I support.
So you're not sure if you would support it?
I'm a pro-choice Republican who supports Vermonters having a voice in important issues like this.
Molly Gray?
I'd actually like to use my time to have Scott say unequivocally whether or not he supports Prop 5.
Well, you're going to have an opportunity to do that if you'd like to ask him a question during our question round. But how about you telling us about your support or lack of support for Proposition 5?
I unequivocally support Prop 5. And it's one reason it's so important to have women and people in the Lieutenant Governor's office who support Vermonters' right to access reproductive health.
Well, this concludes the first round of our program. When we come back, the candidates will have an opportunity to ask each other questions. This is the VPR Vermont PBS debate featuring the major party candidates for Lieutenant Governor, Republican Scott Milne and Democrat Molly Gray. the VPR Vermont PBS debate featuring the major party candidates for Lieutenant Governor, Republican Scott Milne and Democrat Molly Gray. In this second round, the candidates will have an opportunity to ask each other questions. Your questions should be short. Please make sure that they are questions and not long policy statements. Each of you will have a minute to respond, and you can ask a follow-up question. That response should also be limited to 1 minute. I flipped a coin earlier. Molly Gray gets to ask the first question. Molly?
Scott, in one of your failed prior campaigns, you said dark special interest money coming into Vermont was the biggest problem facing our political system. You made this a central piece of your campaign against Senator Patrick Leahy. This week, a dark money group, including the Koch brothers, the NRA, Big Tobacco, all of Trump's biggest supporters, have launched a $200,000 media campaign to defeat me. Vermonters agree that dark special interest money does not belong in our elections here in the state. Will you take this opportunity to denounce this money and ask these groups to cease and desist their efforts?
Thanks very much for the question and the opportunity to speak to this important issue. I completely disagree with your assertion of failed campaigns past, Molly, as perhaps you'll learn, and I've learned the hard way. You can make a difference, and you can make a difference in what happens in our political discourse without winning campaigns. You can make a difference by voting, by being engaged. I'm happy that the Republican Senate Leadership Committee came in with money. As you know, they only do this for people that they think are going to win. I think the bigger issue to me is you've got a PAC formed in the last 2 weeks by your legal advisors and your friends who are spreading disinformation and able to raise dark money and specifically target me. I think that's a totally different situation. And I am curious what your feelings are about your PAC that was formed by friends and associates of yours in the last 7 or 8 days.
Molly Gray, do you have a follow-up?
I don't know anything about the PAC, but I do know this. In 2014, you said you would never use your own personal wealth to fund your campaign, yet you funded all of your campaigns with your personal wealth. In 2016, you attacked your opponent for not doing enough debates. I've invited you to 8 community forums across Vermont, and you failed to show up, saying the crowds weren't big enough. This year, you're suggesting you won't vote for Donald Trump, yet you're taking money from the same dark money public interest groups that are stacking the Supreme Court with a justice who does not support women's reproductive rights or access to healthcare for all Vermonters.
Scott Mill?
Sure. I get why you want to make this election about a Supreme Court pick. First of all, I don't think I said I would never use my own money. I think it's much healthier to use money that somebody's earned in the private sector, building a business with. I just want to remind folks, I bought a small branch of my parents' business 3 decades ago. We had 1 part-time employee in that business. That's grown to be one of the largest travel businesses in the Northeast. I'm proud of that. I've made money. The money I'm spending on this campaign is, I think, less than the money I've spent on Vermont taxes in the last year. So it's a choice that I've made. As you pointed out well, there's opportunities to make a difference in Vermont by offering a voice to Vermonters in campaigns like this. And I'm offering a voice to Vermonters who believe that Phil Scott deserves a partner, not an adversary, in the Lieutenant Governor's office. I'm offering a voice to Vermonters who want to see somebody that actually understands what's going on with jobs and the economy on Main Street. It's going to work as a partner across the aisle with people in the House and the Senate to get things done. I've got progressvt@scottmilne.org. I would encourage everybody to check it out. There's specific, achievable ideas that will make Vermont better.
Time now for a question from Scott Milne to Molly Gray.
Thanks again, Bob. And Molly, our last debate, you twice claimed to have voted in the 2016 election. 7 Days reported that statement was not truthful. Then Friday, your PAC, the group supporting your campaign and run by your friends, knowingly distributed dishonest information about my voting record. To set the record straight, prior to becoming a candidate, with one exception, I voted in every single election for which there are records, including voting against Trump in 2016. I'll vote against Trump again in 2020. You, on the other hand, missed every election except two, including failing to vote against Trump. I assume you will be voting in November, since your name's on the ballot this year. For governor, I'll be supporting Phil Scott, who shares a similar approach to government as I have, and I'm proud to have his endorsement. Will you share with voters who you'll be voting for in the race for governor?
First things first, when I was serving overseas, I completed a ballot and it could not be counted. I think we could spend the rest of this debate and the rest of this election talking about our voting histories and our inconsistencies. The difference between you and me, Scott, is that I haven't been using voting as a political weapon. I have been using voting to attack. I've been using my platform to share information with Vermonters about how to vote in this incredibly important election. And I'll use my remainder of time here to do that. You can learn more about how to vote by visiting mollyforvermont.com. You can go to the Secretary of State's office and register today and request a ballot. And most importantly, we have same-day registration here in this state. So at our young people, they can put together the appropriate information and go to the polls on election day and vote. We need every Vermonter at the table, and your vote matters.
Scott Millen, do you have a follow-up?
I didn't hear you answer the question about who you're voting for Governor, Molly.
Voting this election is extremely important. I'll be voting for the Democratic ticket. And that starts with the top of the ticket with Joe Biden and putting a Democrat in the White House. I don't hear you say you're voting for Joe Biden. Are you voting for Joe Biden?
You're great. I appreciate your tenacity, Molly. I get to ask a question. You're not telling us whether you're voting for Phil Scott or David Zuckerman.
Oh, it's not tenacity. I'm just asking you, will you be voting for Joe Biden at a time in the past when you said, I'm not voting for Donald Trump, but I'm going to write in some other person? I don't think Jim Douglas is on the ballot this year. Will you be voting for Joe Biden?
You get questions later. You can use one of your questions to ask me who I'm voting for. I asked you if you're voting for David Zuckerman or Phil Scott. You're running for lieutenant governor. You've rarely been engaged in an election throughout your entire life. You're running for the second highest elected office in Vermont. And as part of getting elected governor, one of the most important roles of governor is to be ready to succeed the governor. I would ask Vermonters to look at the two of us. I feel I've demonstrated I'm ready. I've got 3 decades of experience in private business, building a business. It's one of the most important assets we're going to need in leadership in Montpelier as we emerge from this health crisis and recover from the economic disaster that awaits us. Who the governor is important. Are you willing to tell us who you're voting for governor?
When you're willing to tell us that you're going to vote for Joe Biden for president.
All right, let's move on to our next round of candidates asking each other questions, and you can pick up this thread if you'd like to or move on. It's totally up to you. Let's flip our order. Scott Millen, what's your second question for Molly Gray?
Sure. I appreciate how much conversation's coming out of your side about Progress VT, a comprehensive blueprint for getting Vermont heading in the right direction. Last week, you said when talking about Progress VT, you said now's not the time for tax incentives. I disagree. Progress VT calls for ending the taxation on Social Security and military pensions, as well as expanding tax deductions for medical expenses. I think these tax incentives are essential for Vermonters struggling with high medical bills during a pandemic and a high cost of living as we work our way through this economic crisis. Why do you feel that these tax incentives for Vermonters are not worth investing in?
The issue is tax credits. Someone has to pay for them, Scott. I'm not for raising taxes on hardworking Vermonters to pay for tax credits. Leadership means setting priorities. Leadership means identifying our greatest needs, which our governor, Governor Phil Scott, has done a good job of doing. I've said time and again, now is our time to align our budget with our greatest needs. Our tax base continues to shrink. We have an aging population. Our businesses are struggling to recruit and retain workers. You know, the difference between us, and this is one thing we agree on, childcare. You talk about childcare. But the difference is you say, let's put more children into a childcare facility, and that's the answer. I say, let's hear from the experts. Let's work with Let's Grow Kids. Let's work with our governor and the legislature and our communities to address these needs. That's the difference between us. It's not about a 60-point glossy brochure. It's about coming together and working together, setting priorities and showing leadership. That's the job of Lieutenant Governor. That's what I will do as our next Lieutenant Governor.
Scott Millen, do you have a follow-up?
I didn't, again, hear an answer to the question, but I think it's important to point out, if you want to criticize one of my points for not being affordable, I've got a plan to eliminate taxes on military pensions and Social Securities. My 60-point plan, two-thirds of the promises in that blueprint actually will save Vermonters money. There's a few that cost money, but we've got a specific prescriptive recipe for what it's going to cost in total. You've got great talking points, Molly, but the point is, six of your promises are going to cost over $500 million. You know, again, you talk about our differences in childcare. I agree with what you said about childcare. It isn't an end-all solution. I've got specific points in Progress VT that will make childcare more affordable for families, and I believe more efficient and effective for childcare providers.
Scott, we're going to need a question here for your follow-up as opposed to a policy statement.
I've got price tags on my promises. Where's your $500 million in new taxes or drastic cuts to come through with what you're promising Vermont is going to come from, Molly?
As I said, showing leadership is about identifying priorities. I don't know which consultants came up with those numbers, but I do know this. Our communities, our small businesses, our governor, our legislature, our congressional delegation recognize that childcare and urgent access is one of the greatest challenges we face right now. Closing the broadband gap, especially for our rural Vermonters, the 70,000 homes and businesses that can't get online during a pandemic, is a priority. I will continue to work throughout this campaign, as I have, going around the state and meeting with communities, and I will bring that experience into the Lieutenant Governor's office. I will not launch political attacks. I will not pay people to put together glossy brochures of failed Republican ideas. I will put Vermonters first. I will put our communities first. And I will work with all of the groups I just mentioned to get a lot of good done for Vermont.
It's time now for a second question from Molly Gray to Scott Millen.
Scott, like so many of my fellow Vermonters, I have been deeply disturbed by Donald Trump's refusal to leave office peacefully, if not elected, in November. The spreading of false information about the safety of vote by mail and the team of lawyers he has assembled is troubling to all of us. That's why I was so disappointed, as so many Vermonters were, to learn of a lawsuit filed by Republicans here in Vermont to stop vote by mail. You said in July, it's going to lead to a lot of problems and undermine confidence in voting. First, did you know this lawsuit was filed?
Scott? I can handle the whole question at once, Molly.
Did you know about the lawsuit?
Yes, I read the news report about the lawsuit. It was widely reported in the media.
Do you support the lawsuit?
I do not.
Let's take, then, a bipartisan moment to come together and assure Vermonters that vote by mail is safe and secure here in our state, and that we fully support our town clerks and the U.S. Postal Service. Will you join me?
Molly, you have a clouded way of pointing out my history. The quote that you just cherry-picked out of a longer statement was a statement from me, an unpopular position I took in a Republican primary, assuring Vermonters that the easier we made it to vote for everybody, the better Vermont and America would be. That's my position. I'm in favor of making it as easy as possible for people to vote. As we see some of the technological changes that are going to happen in Vermont and over America over the next couple of months, the next couple of years, over the next decade, I believe we're going to see a revolution in how easy it is to vote and how easy it is for people to count on their vote making it and not having to rely on the mail. So I'm extraordinarily optimistic that things are going to work. If there's mistakes, we need to make sure we're learning from them. But I am essentially on the same page with you. I'm just not misrepresenting things you've said in the past.
Let's go to our final round of questions from the candidates to each other. And in the interest of time, we're going to have to limit the follow-up. But Molly Gray, what is your third question for Scott Milne?
As you know, Scott, I've been hosting community forums across Vermont, up in Craftsbury and St. Albans and South Royalton and Middlebury and Rutland. I was down in Bennington and Brattleboro this last weekend. And what I hear from our small businesses every day is that they are struggling. We had one round of COVID relief funding come to Vermont. We're hoping to get another. In 2016, you said you would support Mitch McConnell for majority leader. Today, we see Mitch McConnell holding up COVID relief funding from going through the Senate and coming home to our small businesses here in Vermont. Mitch McConnell's also trying to ram through a Supreme Court justice that would take away the health care of 21,000 Vermonters. Do you still support Mitch McConnell?
Again, I get that it's, effective to pull things out of context and make it seem like the truth. But the truth is, with the last presidential situation with a Supreme Court justice, I called on Mitch McConnell to expedite the appointment of the Obama justice. I pointed out, in my opinion, and I don't have anything personal against Senator McConnell, he's effective, but he's just a Republican version of the partisanship gridlock fueled by special interest money that's ruining our national, our U.S. Senate and our House of Representatives. It's what I primarily spoke about in 2016, getting America back on track with different ways of funding elections, different ways of candidates not spending all their time fundraising and just talking to the most affluent and the insiders and the folks that can give them the same failed ideas that they gave to the last people they funded for campaigns. That's what my political career has been about. It's something I'm extraordinarily proud of. And I think, it might be effective, but please, Vermonters, before you buy what my opponent is selling, make sure you talk to me because it's inaccurate.
Scott Milne, what is your third question for Molly Gray?
Thank you very much. And again, Bob, it's good to be with you, Molly. It's good. It's an interesting year that it's COVID. Molly Gray and I have only met once personally. In a typical year, we would have met 15 times by now. I think also, speaking about community forums, it's much more challenging to talk to people this time around. I'm glad I've got so many Vermonters I know from previous campaigns. One of the themes of this campaign, Molly, is that we've both talked about the demographic crisis in Vermont. Obviously, I'm personally familiar with this dynamic, although I'm hoping they come back. Both of my children have sixth generation of my family to be able to call Vermont home. Neither one lives in Vermont now. They've left for what would be better opportunities. The big reason we are losing young people is because they pursue economic opportunity in places that are less hostile towards job creation and where the cost of living is more affordable. But all of your proposals will cost businesses and taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars, making it even harder for young people to afford to stay here, making it more difficult to attract employers and grow jobs. Do you have any proposals that will make Vermont more affordable, that won't require cutting important programs or raising taxes on already overtaxed Vermonters to implement?
Molly?
I'm running for lieutenant governor because we failed to keep Vermonters here. We failed to bring Vermonters back and to draw a new generation to our state. What would I cut? I'd stop paying people $10,000 to move to Vermont. I'd stop investing in private prisons and sending our Vermonters out of state. My focus and the focus of this campaign is identifying the constellation of issues and opportunities that are going to help reverse our demographic challenges. We're soon to be one of the oldest states in the country. We have more deaths than births in a majority of Vermont counties. I want to talk about workforce development for one moment. The largest challenge facing our businesses is that they can't recruit and retain workers. We have the highest graduation rate in the country, yet 41% of our graduates don't go on to any additional training. Yet we've failed to invest in CCV and our state colleges. So right now, let's align our budget with our greatest needs, cut programs that aren't helping keep people here and helping our businesses, and reinvest. That's why I'm running. That's what I intend to use Lieutenant Governor's office for.
This concludes the second round of our program. When we come back, we'll have some questions from students and listeners. This is the VPR Vermont PBS Lieutenant Governor Debate. VPR Vermont PBS Debate featuring the major party candidates for Lieutenant Governor, Republican Scott Milne and Democrat Molly Gray. And in this round, we have some questions from listeners, students, and a few more of our lightning round questions. We got this question from an eighth grade student at Twinfield Union School. Now, again, please limit your answers to 60 seconds. Ida would like to know, what is the best way to make sure that Vermont police use de-escalation tactics rather than violence? Scott Milne?
Great question, Ida. And Twinfield, I spent a great weekend Boy Scout camping in the hills right behind Twinfield. And I think about that when I think about Twinfield. So thanks for the question. First of all, we need to fully acknowledge and confirm that all Vermonters, all Americans need to be treated with dignity. Secondly, I believe baked into the DNA of America is a presumption of innocence. I've got experiences in my own life, just demonstrating this. When I was a young man, I worked for the Washington, D.C. Public Defender's Office. I'll try to give you the expedited version of this. Every client I had was a person of color. First case I had was a man who was accused of a violent knife attack. Was caught actually in a bar with a knife in his hand. I spent a weekend doing depositions, just using Vermont common sense. 3 days later, charges were dropped. I got a call from his crying wife thanking me for letting the father of her children, his children, be home and be out of jail. I worked with all people of color throughout that. It's in my DNA. It's not something I'm saying because it's fashionable today. I believe all people are created equal. I believe presumption of innocence is essential, especially from police, from prosecutors, and from the criminal justice system. Real quick plug in my Progress BT plan, we talk about consolidating police functions under an agency of public safety. This will make things more effective, more affordable, and help make police more accountable.
Scott, we're gonna have to try to keep you on track a little bit here. Molly Gray, your answer to this question.
The important question was about de-escalation here in Vermont. I've served statewide as an assistant attorney general. I couldn't be more proud of some of the work I've done in the attorney general's office. One thing that we see continuously here in the state is an uptick in officer-involved shootings. Our law enforcement are asked to be mental health professionals. They're asked to be mediators. They're responding to crisis. One thing we need to do is adequately define the role of police officers and then shift funding into mental health and support services. That also includes making sure that our law enforcement are wearing body cameras, that they are being trained on proper de-escalation here in the state, but only when the situations call for it. Again, this is a moment where we need to recognize that we need to invest in mental health and support services, when we need to invest in prevention, when we need to invest in those health and human services pieces of our communities rather than continuing to invest in police. And when we do invest in police, we're ensuring that they're wearing their body cameras and that they are properly abiding by de-escalation procedures here in the state. And we need to clarify them.
We got this question about global warming. Lawmakers last week overrode Governor Scott's veto of legislation that establishes carbon emission reduction targets. The bill also allows citizens to sue the state if these targets are not met. Those targets include a 26% reduction by 2025 and a 40% reduction by 2030. The legislation creates a 23-member commission that's charged with developing the policies that will be needed to reach these goals. Do you support this bill, which is now going to become Vermont law? Scott Mill?
I do not support the bill for reasons publicly enumerated by Governor Scott. What I do support and believe is Vermont's natural environment and the legacy and reputation of Vermonters as stewards of the environment is one of our most precious resources. I think we need to harness that energy with more incentives and less penalties like the Global Warming Solution Act, which is not affordable, it's not a solution, and I personally don't believe it's constitutional. In my Progress VT plan, we've got specific achievable steps towards energy independence, which I'd let you read. But what I'd like to just talk about is a bigger thought about what Vermont can and should be doing for climate change. We need to leverage our brand, which I just talked about. There's going to be tremendous developments in technology over the next few years. I think Vermont can be a workforce destination for entrepreneurs, for investors, for companies that are going to develop some of the technologies that are actually going to help us make a big difference. Vermont can lead the planet in this regard. I'm looking forward to putting my three decades of experience as an entrepreneur, as a person who's built a small business and creating jobs, getting to work for the clean energy industry in Vermont. And I'd appreciate your support. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you very much. Molly Gray?
I'll pick up where Scott left off on brand. I think our brand here in Vermont is being a leader in responding to COVID-19. What I know from driving around the state and meeting with communities across Vermont is that we have done such an incredible job of responding to this pandemic. We're wearing our masks. We've been socially distanced. Why? Because we trust the science and we've trusted the experts. The same is true with climate change. We see the driest summer. We see drought across our state. Our farmers are struggling. Our ski areas are struggling. Our brand is showing leadership. And that's what the Global Warming Solutions Act is all about. It's not a perfect plan, but it's an effort to bring the experts to the state in the same way that we did in recovering from Hurricane Irene and creating Efficiency Vermont, to make sure Vermonters can weatherize their homes, can access affordably electric vehicles, that we are investing in solar and renewable energy. So we are in climate resilient and energy independent Vermont for the future. I support the Global Warming Solutions Act, and I commend our legislature and our communities and everyone who came together to get it done. We should be proud.
We're going to have a couple of lightning round questions since we're almost out of time. Many Vermonters are just getting to know the two of you. Tell us, what's the biggest misconception that people have about you? Molly Gray?
That I don't have small business experience, when I grew up on a vegetable and dairy farm, that I'm endorsed by businesses across the state, that I've worked for businesses, including at the Worthy Burger as a bartender. I understand our businesses and I look forward to working hard for all of our small businesses across Vermont.
Scott Milne, what's the biggest misconception that people have about you?
I don't know what misconceptions folks might have, but if you have any and you want to talk about it, feel free to reach out. I'm easy to reach. What I will say is that the election is about the biggest economic crisis in 75 years. I'm looking forward to putting my three decades of experience as a small business person, creating jobs, being successful in private enterprise, to work as a partner with Governor Scott.
Thank you, Scott. I have to hold it right there. Let me just get this last question in with short answers. There are several thousand undocumented workers employed in Vermont, especially in the dairy industry. They are a vital part of that industry. Do you support allowing these undocumented workers to have access to government-sponsored health care? Scott Milne?
Yes.
Molly Gray.
Yes, and I also commend our governor and the legislature in ensuring that they receive COVID funding during this essential time. They are essential workers and essential to our agricultural industry here in the state.
And for the final question, just in our lightning round, let me get back to a question you were asking each other earlier in the debate. Scott Milne, are you going to be voting for Joe Biden?
No, I'm writing in at this point. And, you know, I think one of the challenges in, you know, just this partisan corner everybody wants to retreat into is once you say something, you're stuck with it for life. I think what's important is I took a hard stand and lost friends and announcing that I was voting for Donald, was not voting for Donald Trump in 2016. My opponent didn't vote in 2016.
Okay, thank you, Scott. Molly Gray, will you be voting for David Zuckerman?
Sorry, I just want to confirm, my opponent is not going to vote for Joe Biden and a Democrat in the White House this year.
That's correct. That's what I heard Scott say. And how about you and David Zuckerman?
I'll be supporting the Democratic ticket this year here in Vermont and in the White House.
So you're voting for David Zuckerman?
Yes.
Thank you.
So here's our final question for both of you. The Office of Lieutenant Governor has very limited official duties. Tell voters why you think your election as Vermont's next Lieutenant Governor will make a difference in their lives. And please limit your answers to 50 seconds. Scott Milne?
First of all, thank you again, everybody that's paying attention, either on the radio midday or this evening. I guess we're like the backup band for the presidential debate tonight, Molly. So I think it's sort of like being a backup band to the Rolling Stones. We both get to practice it tonight. So it's good to be here. What I'm promising Vermonters is I'm telling you the truth of the campaign. I'm going to tell you the truth as a lieutenant governor. I've got specific proposals in Progress VT for making the office more transparent and more accessible to Vermonters. I'm running because I know Vermonters are hurting. Too many people in Montpelier don't get it. I think leveraging my small business experience to be a partner for Governor Scott so we can tackle COVID, reopen the economy safely and responsibly. I believe we can emerge stronger than ever. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take affordable solutions. We need to make Vermont a place that's affordable to live, work, raise a family, and prosper. I please ask you to look at my Progress VT plan. It's a comprehensive blueprint. Talks about repealing taxes on Social Security and military pensions, strategic investments in broadband, making childcare more affordable. These are realistic, not bumper sticker slogans. I'm looking forward to building bridges and partnering with Governor Scott, who supports me. I know we can get things done. Thank you all.
Molly Gray.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, VPR. Thank you, PBS. Thank you to everyone tuning in. This is the most important election. The future of Vermont, the future of our nation is on the ballot this November. This year, we have a choice. We have a choice between someone who runs for office, someone who has a lot of money and is self-funding his campaign, who's willing to take dark special interest money from Republicans nationally who are ready to take away healthcare from 21,000 Vermonters, or we can think about the future. I'm running for office as someone who grew up here in our state on a vegetable and dairy farm, who's a product of our education system, who's worked with our congressional delegation, serving Vermonters in Congressman Welch's office, who's worked in crisis management in times of conflict with the Red Cross, who's lived and worked in communities across our state at a time when we need to put people before politics, address our greatest priorities, keep a generation here, bring a generation back, and do that in a way that helps us recover stronger than COVID-19. I hope you will join our campaign and let's work together to take Vermont forward. I hope I can count on your vote this November. Thank you so much for having me.
And this concludes the VPR Vermont PBS debate featuring the major party candidates for Lieutenant Governor, Democrat Molly Gray and Republican Scott Milne. Many thanks for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Molly.
Thanks, Scott.
Coming up on Thursday, we'll have a debate featuring the major party candidates for the U.S. House, Democratic incumbent Peter Welch and Republican Miriam Berry. These two candidates have very different opinions about a number of key issues being debated in Washington, so be sure to join us for that debate. I'm Bob Kinzel. Thanks for being with us today.